Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more, up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. The name of this holiday weekend needs to be changed. Forget Independence Day. Until we, and I mean our people, the people who founded and built America and our close kin of European descent, until we regain our freedom and independence, we need to rename this now anachronistic holiday. I suggest the simplest, most obvious, and most honest alternative: Dependence Day. For we have become a dependent people, a people led by others, owned by others, really. We are no longer permitted to freely and openly have communities of our own, whether physical neighborhoods and towns or organizational communities working for our own interests. In America, we have black communities proudly proclaimed. We have mestizo communities, neighborhoods, whole cities devoted to being sanctuaries for them, and endless, well-funded, race-based organizations. We have Jewish communities and community organizations, perhaps the most prominent of all. But for whites, nothing of this kind is permitted, without severe legal or other consequences. White communities are persecuted, criminalized, singled out for special law enforcement scrutiny, and singled out for destruction by weaponized mobs, billionaire-funded legal teams, and servile, treasonous prosecutors and lawmakers. When racially conscious whites carefully navigate the laws and pitfalls, make the necessary sacrifices, and insist on independence, and do whatever it takes to heroically form a white community in 2021 America, such as what the National Alliance is doing now, all the teeth of the poisonous hydra are aimed at us, and it takes a special kind of man and woman to keep moving forward. But heroic examples aside, we Americans, on the whole, have been keeping quiet and keeping our heads down and seldom, if ever, even daring to say the word white for decades now. Our heads are bowed so low we're eating dirt and pretending to like it. In the lead-up to our supposed Independence Day, our supposed president is busy demonizing whites in Tulsa and making a white guilt fest with a name created by illiterates into the first new national holiday since Red Martin Day. And Jew-ridden Donald Trump, the supposedly white racist alternative to the resident, just completed his sixth year in the presidential political spotlight, carefully avoiding not only giving any aid or comfort to white people, but avoiding even the use of the word white, and actively and earnestly trying to prove how little he cares about us and how much he cares about non-whites, especially Jews. When Trump, after being thrown off the major social media platforms, signed up for an alternative platform called Rumble, his sign-up was conditional on Rumble banning anyone characterized as anti-Semitic or racist, which Rumble had never done before. Andrew Torba, owner of another alternative social media platform called Gab, said he was approached by the Trump-Kushner team with the same demand, which he refused. Even the supposed opponent of the entrenched powers has to bow to the inverted morality of those powers and force everyone associated with him, even remotely, to do the same. Some opposition, that, and some independence. We are legally forbidden to have explicitly white schools or white neighborhoods. We're not even allowed to make sure that the purchaser of our home, when we sell it, is of our race, as our ancestors used to do in a spirit of benevolence for the future of the communities they had built. We've moved by the millions upon millions upon millions to the suburbs, away from the blacks, away from the invaders, and turned what used to be farmers' fields or wild lands into new communities, where we were, for a few bright moments anyway, the vast majority again. At great cost, very great cost. We built a whole new series of cities surrounding the ones we'd been forced to abandon to the rising brown tide. We weren't allowed to have de jure white communities anymore, so we built a whole new America, basically, so we could at least have de facto white communities. And now, the resident and his owners are determined that we shall lose the suburbs too. Determined that our last refuges shall be submerged in the brown tide too. Biden says he won't sign the big multi-trillion dollar infrastructure bill that both Jewish-dominated parties want, unless it also includes a reconciliation bill containing, among other things, putting strings on federal aid, requiring that communities put an end to zoning rules that favor single-family homes, requiring that communities open themselves up for development of apartment complexes where none are wanted, requiring that communities open themselves up to so-called low-income housing, which practically means forcing millions of weaponized non-whites into those de facto white neighborhoods and turning the schools and shopping places there into disgusting pits of non-white crime, filth, and degeneracy. Those city councils and town managers and mayors should have known that they were making themselves dependent when they accepted that federal money. Now they're trapped. They'll be voted out by the selfish morons if they refuse the funds and have to raise taxes to replace it. And they're all either fully on board with racial mixing, or are pretending to be so the media won't attack them, or they're scared to death to oppose the mixing, even if they hate it. So they, absolutely for sure, won't do the right thing when the federal housing commissars come calling. In the waning days of the Obama administration in 2015, Fetchett's masters created the so-called Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing Initiative, which targeted any neighborhood in the U.S. that was over 50% white, with intentional racial diversification. Biden's masters are the same masters, of course, so now that plan is going to finally be put into effect and ramped up even further through the infrastructure bill. How dare you celebrate independence when you don't have any? When your increasingly not-so-secret masters decide what the composition of your neighborhood will be, what the composition of your places of commerce and business shall be, what the composition of your children's schools shall be. How dare you call yourself independent and free? We are a dependent people. A people for whom the wealth we create is increasingly taken from us as tribute, as punishment for imagined sins, or through deception and trickery, and given to others who did not earn it. Years ago, I joked that we should simply give all our wealth, all our money, all our property to the slave masters in Washington and New York and Tel Aviv. And then they could just decide how much of it they would kindly give back to us to feed our families so we could keep working for them without actually starving to death. It's not much of a joke anymore, since we're more than halfway there already. When the bankers, including both the Fed and the entire fractional reserve system that owns the Fed, are given the exclusive privilege of creating money out of thin air, what is that except a way to steal the people's wealth by the billions every day of the year? When they can dilute the value of everything that's in your bank account and pension account and annuity and any other kind of account you have at will and by any amount they want. Face it. You are their slaves. You work for them and at their pleasure. And nothing you earn is yours to keep for long. Until you awaken and tell them to go to hell, you are dependent on their favor for your job, your status, your ability to buy and sell, for your very economic existence. You are dependent. When they, and yes, I do mean the billionaire Jews who have stolen our country from us, can demand that the government not create interest-free money itself, as it used to do, and instead be required to borrow all of its funds, and I do mean all its funds, from them, and that our children and our children's children be required under the 1,000th generation to labor to pay interest on the loan of money they created with the stroke of a keyboard, then how dare you celebrate your long-lost independence as if it still existed? How dare you waste your time with make-believe when your posterity and your ancestors' blood demand that you fight to get that independence back? And when this same tribe corrupts our youth with impunity, teaches them in every school and university that mutilating your genitals and or behaving in a perverse manner that prevents you from having children are sacred rights and noble pursuits deserving of praise, social sanction, and impregnable legal protection, while uniting and organizing to promote the interests of your race, your own kindred, is the ultimate evil and must be prevented by any means necessary. And when you know this, and yet you sit anonymously behind your screens and keyboards and do nothing about it, how dare you celebrate something called Independence Day? We can do something about it. We can build a white community despite all the obstacles. We can build an organization that spans the generations, a community that can form the nucleus of a new nation, a new people. We can do what needs to be done. One day, we will have a real Independence Day again, greater than any that have come before, greater than 1776, greater even than 1933. We will come through this trial by fire. Our enemies will unknowingly benefit us in the end. A severe selective process has already begun. Weak hands and weak souls, hands of paper and souls of dross, will fall away and be consumed by fire. But hands of steel and souls of diamond will be found. We are finding them now in the National Alliance. Hands of steel and souls of diamond that will turn the fire on those who first unleashed it against us.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the Alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism, fundamentally, is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now let me, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces. They just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.